Chapter 1. I whip my head toward the airplane window as soon as Dad scoots into my row. There's nothing to see except clouds and more clouds, but anything is better than looking at his fakey, "sorry to do this to you" face. Dad is waiting for me to turn toward him. Yeah, right. One little glance would encourage another diatribe about connecting with my roots. They're his roots, not mine. I'm a Laguna Beach girl who can paddleboard one leg in and live on fish tacos and mango smoothies. My parents should be thanking the Buddha for a daughter like me. A no lip gloss, no short shorts, 12-year-old rocking a 4.0 GPA, and an SAT-ish vocab who is team leader in track, science, and chess. I should at least be able to spend the summer resting my brain at the beach. Instead, I get shoved on this pre-dawn flight. My parents slapped me with the news just last night when I was floaty and happy because sixth grade was finally over. I was thinking summer vacation, sunsets, bonfires. But no, with buggy eyes and stretchy smiles, they cooed out the news that I get to escort Ba, Dad's mom, back to Vietnam for 6 whole weeks. Ba needs you, Dad said when I complained. Dad goes to Vietnam every summer already, but he'll be too busy hiking toward the most remote mountain to set up a one-man surgical clinic to fix cleft palates and acute burns. I hinted that perhaps he could skip this year, but Dr. Duguider shriveled me with facts. Apparently, the kids with hand burns suffer excruciating pain and can't extend their fingers because the skin has shrunk. The ones with holes in the roofs of their mouths live with food and water gushing out of their noses. Dr. Duguider always has more demand than he can handle. So at the end of each trip, he holds a lottery to pick the next set of patients who spend a year anticipating his return. Every June, the chosen kids and their extended families travel for days to reach his clinic, forsaking their crops and animals. Surely I cannot expect him to disappoint them. Guilt. Very big in my family. Then it was Mom's turn. She, too, talked about roots and blood, then continued ad nauseam about accepting what's embedded inside one's soul. Blah, blah, blah. Before letting it drop that, much to her regret, she can't go to Vietnam at all. Something about a trial she's waited 3 years to prosecute. She's known for always taking on the most brutal crimes against women. Halo, halo. This is the summer I've been waiting for my whole life. At 12, I'm finally old enough to take the shuttle to the beach without an adult sticking to me. My best friend, Montana, and I already got our hair highlighted and bought new swimming suits. Hers, a bikini with a pink bow. Smack on her butt. And mine, a padded tankini because I have a boy's body. I wouldn't care except Montana thinks not having boobs is like not having hair. She's very proud of hers, but that's like being proud of a sunny day in Southern Cal. As if she did anything to make it happen. I tried really hard to counter-argue with Mom that I too must stay in Laguna. I too must see a project through. But how can I go up against Orange County's golden prosecutor? It didn't help that I had to be vague because I'd die before confessing there's this boy. I can't even think about him or I'll explode with anxiety. I noticed him as soon as he went on and on about this poem in class. And after that, my stomach flipped like a dryer every time he was around. He does have these curls at his shoulders. As if that explains anything. I know he's going to hang at Anita. That's a beach. All summer. And I promised myself I would start a real conversation and actually look at him. I have never said his name out loud, and certainly not to Montana. She has a very bad habit of liking the boys others like first. And those boys have a very bad habit of liking her back. After I got nowhere with my parents, I screamed and stomped to my room and slammed the door and threw books against the wall. That last part killed me. I love books. All that drama did nothing. I'm on a plane.